Okay, we're going to look at the Bible together now. And I'm not actually going to look at Acts 2, what Ange and Holly read to us earlier. I want to shift on ahead, and I want to look at what is, I think, probably one of the most significant prayer meetings that we've ever had or ever heard about. So if you could go to Acts 4, Graham's going to put it up on the screen, but if you want to follow it, we're going to read from 23 down to 31. So Acts 4. 23 to 31. Now Peter and John had just had all sorts of trouble. I'll say a little bit about it later. They've been before the sort of rulers and authorities, and they were released, and then they prayed, and this is the prayer meeting. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the power of the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his holy anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So let's just pray that the Lord will speak to us through his word this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing account of what happened all those years ago. Thank you that it was a sovereign act that took place that day. It was in your will and purpose for your people to encounter and experience you in this way. And Lord, we believe that you still desire and long for your people to encounter you in powerful and significant ways. So as we consider this together, Lord, would you lead us by your Spirit? Would you speak to us by your Spirit? We just acknowledge that we need your Spirit with us and in us and through us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I remember on my first day when I was training to be a social worker, they did something. It was one of those kind of icebreaker things, and I really hated it. I really don't like this kind of thing. But they said to me, if you were an animal, what kind of animal would you be? I remember going around the class and dreading that moment when it was going to get to me because I couldn't think of anything. I just say that as an introduction to this passage today. You know, throughout the scripture, throughout history, there are different kind of sort of almost animals or analogies that have been used, sort of pictures, if you like, have been used to give us a sense of what the Holy Spirit does and who the Holy Spirit is. What he does and who he is. And I think there are five in total I just want to touch on this morning. So there's the dove. Remember when Jesus is baptized and it says the Spirit just descended on him like a dove. And that's such a lovely picture of the aspect of the Holy Spirit's work. There's a gentleness, a sensitivity about that aspect of the Holy Spirit. But then there's wind. You know, we read about that in the day of Pentecost, this sound like a wind, and it was a, you know, when we think about the wind, it's like the breath of God. It's like this life-giving breath of God. It's another sort of picture of the person, the work of the Holy Spirit. Then there's oil, there's anointing. This is this kind of like setting apart. It's a sort of a preparation. It's an equipping for the works that God has for us to do. There's this picture of the Holy Spirit like oil, being like people being anointed with oil. Then there's water. And Jesus talks about streams of living water flowing up from within you, bubbling up from within you, this refreshing provision of this kind of that satisfies and helps us. It's life-giving, it's life-affirming. And then there's fire. Again, we read about that on the day of Pentecost, how tongues of fire, it was like tongues of fire came and settled on them. And again, this is a picture of purity. I think it's a picture of passion and the fire of God. And we pray this often, don't we, that the fire of God would fall. A sense of his purity and a purifying work and his passion. I love, as we go on through history, I love one of the it's a Northumbrian community, and I've said this before, but they don't use the imagery of the Holy Spirit like a dove. They talk about the Holy Spirit like a goose. And I love this picture, this analogy that they use. It's like a little bit unwieldy, a little bit unpredictable. You know, that sort of but strong and powerful. And when you see those geese, that's a real purposeful in terms of the way they fly. I love it, and I love seeing those geese flying in formation in the sky. It always just reminds me of that aspect of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I think as we read through Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost, and as we look to Acts 4, there's this prayer meeting that I want us to think about today. I think we see the different layers and the different kind of parts of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And I hope that will speak to us, and we will encounter those different aspects in our lives today as we listen and in the days to come. There's a few things I want to just sort of say before I look at it, because I think it's important. A few scriptures I want to read, just bits of the Bible I want to read. And just hear this as we go on and before we look at this little passage together. This is the first one. I want to read just a passage from Luke 12, 32. It says, "Do not be afraid, little flock." These are the words of Jesus. "For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." You know, in Romans it says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And what Jesus is saying here is the Father is pleased to give us his kingdom. Did you hear that? The Father is pleased to give us his kingdom. He's longing, he loves to pour out his will and his purposes and his life upon us and in us. And then in 1 John it says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us." That sense of generosity. God isn't sort of holding this back. He longs to pour out his Spirit. He longs to give up his love and himself. So I want to just remember that as we come to this passage today. So that's the first thing I want you to remember. The second is this, and I love this sort of imagery from this picture from the Old Testament in Numbers 29. Moses had called some of the elders and the leaders together, and they were standing around at the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. And it says this, "The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him, and he put it on the 70 elders." There was an impartation happened on those people in that moment. But there was these couple of guys, Eldad and Medad. No, they didn't get the memo. They weren't there. So they were in their tent or wherever they were. But then this is what it said. "Yet the Spirit rested on them." The Spirit rested on them. They weren't in the gathering. They were somewhere else. But the Spirit still rested on them. It says, "A young man ran and told Moses, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who'd been at Moses' side since youth, spoke up and he said, my Lord, stop them.'" Obviously, he didn't like the fact that they weren't in the gathering, yet they still got the blessing. And this is what Moses said, and I want you to hear this today. He says, "But Moses replied, 'Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them.' And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp." Do you know what? If we were together, and we've said this often during this time of lockdown, if we were together, we would be coming together, we'd be ministering to one another, laying hands on one another and praying for one another. We're not. And actually, it's difficult to do that in these days, isn't it? But what this tells us is that actually, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. These guys weren't in the gathering, yet they still got the blessing. They weren't in the gathering, yet the Spirit was still poured out and they were touched. So I pray today, I just want you to remember this as we go on. It doesn't matter that we're spread out, we're disparate. It doesn't matter. God can overcome all that. And I believe he longs to and wants to bless us in the place that we're at today. The other little bit I wanted to share was it was a story that Chris Crooks told. Hi, Chris, if you're online and watching. Chris told his story about why Pentecost was important to him. And he talked about it was the day of Pentecost. And he'd yet come to the point where he put his trust in Christ. Yet that day he was asked if somebody wanted to pray for him, and a crowd of people prayed for him. And he experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on him, and he was touched powerfully. And then from that time, he started to understand things about repentance and giving his life to Christ. And he went on from that place. I hope I've told it correctly, Chris, but it was all a bit out of order and round the wrong way. And I love this aspect of how God works. He's not bound by a certain set of rules or orders. God can do it how he wants to do it. So you may or not have all your questions answered today. You may not have it all worked out. You may be listening to John talking about speaking in tongues and thinking, what on earth is all that about? But you know what? That doesn't stop you encountering and experiencing the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's touching your life today. Again, it's a matter of trusting in him and saying, opening up your life to him. So that's the third thing. And it was interesting this morning as we prayed, Mark talked about a guy called William Haslam, who was involved in leading a revival down here in Cornwall. I think it was Baldew Chapel, just a few miles away. And what happened there was he was actually a pastor in the church, a minister of the church. And one day, the Holy Spirit challenged him by his own sermon. And actually what happened was is he got saved by one of his own sermons, and he had a touch of God. And the Holy Spirit, he encountered the Holy Spirit. Again, all back to front and around the wrong way, it seems, but God touched him and used him powerfully. And we saw revival. Well, we didn't, they did. Saw revival in those days. Final one is this one. I just want us to read before we look at this passage. Don't worry, I am going to look at it briefly. So Habakkuk 2, verse 14 says this: "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." And I think this is such an important aspect of what God is doing by his Holy Spirit. I think this is about what God is doing in us. There was a guy called Irenaeus. He was one of the church fathers, early on, probably, I can't remember what, maybe the first 3 or 4 centuries, around that time. And he said this: the glory of God is man fully alive, or humans fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. You know, when we're fully alive, we're displaying something of God's glory. When the Holy Spirit brings life to us, we're displaying something of his glory. And now imagine if every believer on the face of the earth is displaying the glory of God, then suddenly that passage from Habakkuk takes on a new meaning, does it not? The whole earth is just, it's a part of the outworking of that passage. The whole earth becoming aware of seeing the knowledge of the glory of God. So there's just sort of four things as we think about this passage. So we started in Acts 2. And what we saw in Acts 2, and I just want to say this, is that actually Acts 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit, was the fulfillment of a promise. And actually what we see in Acts 2 is that God is good for his word. He will keep his word. But I want to say this. Just as the Holy Spirit was poured out, this new chapter, this new era began in the life of this church. He's not changed. He continues to pour out his Holy Spirit. He's never gone away, and we have to kind of persuade him to come back. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit is as present today and available today as he was on the day of Pentecost. Okay, did you hear that? The Holy Spirit is as present and is available to God's people today as he was in the day of Pentecost. And God is pleased to give his Spirit to us, pleased to pour out his Spirit on hearts and lives and homes and communities. And I think what we need to do is learn how to position ourselves. We need to learn how to posture ourselves. We need to learn how to pray. We need to learn how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we do, we'll see more and more of the things that we long to and want to see, the Holy Spirit touching and blessing us, and then being revealed to the world through us, the church. So let's just look for a few moments at this amazing passage from Acts 4. It's one that's just been on my mind for months. I've been really thinking about it and reading it again and again and again. And it's just the most amazing prayer meeting that took place. You know, this took place days after Pentecost. You know, things kicked off straight away for the guys at Pentecost. There's a story of Peter and John. You know, they go out and one day there's a guy at the gate to the synagogue, and he's disabled. He can't walk, and there's this interaction. I won't tell the whole story now. But basically what happens is he got more than he bargained for, and he reached out asking for money from Peter and John. Because basically they, in the name of Jesus, they pray for healing. And this guy jumps up and he's leaping around and he's just touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's healed and he's restored. But this meant that things got a bit tricky for the disciples, for Peter and for John, because it attracted some interest. And they got sort of hauled before the leaders, as I said earlier. And things started to get a bit tricky and they got sort of taken away and all sorts of things like that. So, but basically what happened is they got released, and then the first thing they did was pray. And this is where we get to in Acts chapter 4. So the first thing they did after they were persecuted, after they were released, they prayed. The second thing they did was they praised. They started to praise God for who he is. They started to remember all the things that he had done. This is in Acts 4, the bit that we read. And then it says that they didn't just pray and praise. They petitioned. They asked God to stretch out his hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says that they were impacted. They were impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love this bit. The room was shaken. The room where they were at was shaken. Wow, how would we feel if that happened? And then they were empowered. It says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Now, I've reflected and thought about this passage quite a lot over the last few months. They prayed. And I think there's a call to prayer in this passage. There's a call to go beyond where we're praying now and how we're praying now, to take hold of a new pattern and a new position when it comes to prayer in our lives, still working out what that looks like. There was praise. They meditated and declared who God was. They remembered what he has done. There's something so powerful in that, isn't there? And they petitioned. They asked God to stretch out his hand, remembering that he's pleased to do so. Do we do that? Ask God to stretch out his hand. And you know, sometimes he stretches out his hand through us stretching out our hands. They were impacted. You know, we prayed all night. So, well, we prayed for 24 hours. Some of us have prayed through the night. I wonder if we expected the room to shake as we pray. Do we expect God to move in power for us to experience in a sort of tangible, almost a manifest way, his power? It's okay to expect him to move in power when we do pray, to be impacted when we do pray. And then it says this, they were empowered. They were filled with boldness. What I love about this passage, so you read on. Just read on in the chapters following this prayer meeting, and what we see is some amazing things going down. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They had this incredible encounter. The room was shaken, yet this is where they go from there. In Acts 4, verse 32, they started to care for each other in a deeper, more powerful way. There was a radical caring for one another in terms of, and a radical generosity. They were selling their stuff and giving and loving one another by giving generously and radically. And then you go on to Acts 5, it talks about this moment where people were just coming from all over and they were getting healed and released, and there was these sort of moments where people were being delivered. It talks about Peter's shadow. He would walk along and his shadow would just fall on people and they would be healed. Then we go on from there and you've got Stephen, the first martyr. and Philip, who is just ministering and witnessing to people in the most amazing way, ends up on this road, bumps into this Ethiopian. What bumps into, it was a divine kind of encounter, a divine meeting. And then that Ethiopian went back to his land, and Christianity was birthed and born there. What we see out of this prayer meeting is the most amazing growth taking place in the life of the church from that gathering. So there's Pentecost, and out of that spirit-filled prayer, stuff happens. The church is almost kind of, I don't know what the word is, it was accelerated, all the things that were going on. So I just love this passage. But, you know, so how do we bring this into land today? What is this saying to us today? Well, I just want to turn to the very last verse in the book of Acts to wrap this up. Because what it says there, I think it's in chapter 28, right at the end, it says, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and talked about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Yeah, it says there, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus with all boldness and without hindrance. Just remember that Paul said this. He was kind of under house arrest. He had a guard with him all the time. It was, you know, it was a level of imprisonment. But it didn't stop him. The Holy Spirit was unleashed at Pentecost. And actually, when the Holy Spirit comes and fills the church and believers in Jesus Christ, then what happens is they are unleashed too. And the kingdom of God increases and advances, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to pray in a few moments. And I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would come and touch you. And it may be that, you know, remember those five kind of different sort of pictures that we use in scripture or history to describe the person and work of the Holy Spirit: wind and fire and water. There's the dove, the oil, even the goose. And I want to pray, Holy Spirit, come. I want to pray, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray that our worlds would be rocked, because we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, it would be interesting if the room started to shake. But actually, what I want to pray is that our worlds, our lives would be shaken to the core by the coming of the Holy Spirit, by the unleashing of the Holy Spirit in us. So I want us to pray for a few moments now. And I want to ask you, if you're with someone, I want to ask you just to take their hand. I want you to hold hands together. I don't know why, I just felt prompted to do that. If you're on your own today, and you'd love to have someone to take your hand at this moment, then I'm going to just pray that the Holy Spirit would be that gentle dove for you right now. And it would be like he would be holding your hand. So just take the hand of a person with you now. I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit. Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders and miracles in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we were praying this morning, Anna noted as we prayed that there were individual tongues of fire on, that it was like tongues of fire individually on each and every one. No one was missed out. Everyone had a touch. So I just pray everyone would receive that touch of the Holy Spirit now. Wind, fire, water, the dove or anointing oil, the honking goose. Holy Spirit, come. Just going to wait for a moment. Just where you're at, keep saying, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit, you issue that invitation. Some of you are asking for the gift of tongues this morning. Just pray, touch those lips now, Lord. Let them speak with that heavenly language. Bind any reason-based thinking that would be holding that person back or people back. I just pray, touch the lips of your people and let them speak in that lovely, beautiful, heavenly language, that the gift of your Spirit, let it be released. I release it now in the name of Jesus. Release it now. Love you, Lord. Let's just wait on the Lord for a moment now. Don't rush on from this place. Don't rush. Just receive now. Stretch out your hand, Lord. You know, as those of us who've got someone's hand in ours, let stretch out your hand. Just receive for those of us, you know, who are on our own in this moment. Just Holy Spirit, take hold of those hands. I think there's some tears being released in this moment, some tears, but. Tears of sadness that will turn to tears of joy. Tears of mourning that will be turned to tears of joy. I just had a word this morning about futures, people fearful of future. And it's almost like someone who had no sense of, you know, or just the belief that there was no future. And struggling to see future. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus over you. That future, your future is in his hand. And he has got a will and a purpose for you. And it's good. And it's to prosper you. Just pray, take hold of that today. I pray the life-giving wind of God to be blown into you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, I just pray for an anointing now. Anointing now. The Holy Spirit is like an oil, just anointing, setting you apart, preparing you, equipping you. The days that lie ahead. You know, we haven't got oil. I know we had some last week, but even heard of the Lord providing the oil miraculously. Maybe some of you in this moment just be receiving that. Pray, this is stretch out your hand to heal. I just pray if those of you today, if there's any sickness in your body, maybe where you're at, just put a hand on the area or the place where you're sick. We just command healing in the name of Jesus. Because we believe there is power in the name of Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus. Pray that I've just got a a word of knowledge about skin cancer. So if there's anyone here who's got a, you know, who's listening or looking on, maybe today or in the days to come, we just pray that that skin cancer would go in the name of Jesus Christ. We command it to go and for healing to come. We pray for the blessing of heaven to come upon you now by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.